From the WGXE Newsroom, this is the WGXE News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Philip Pantuso reports for the River Newsroom about how the new law legalizing marijuana in New York will help small farmers. First, State Senator Michelle Henchy, a Democrat from Saugerties, helped get a provision allowing hemp flower to be sold in retail stores, which was not included in earlier versions of the legislation. Farmers don't need to create fancy processing structures for flower production. Henchy says, and I quote, "I'm a freshman senator and I was still able to come in and be at the table with these points that we recognize needed to be changed, both as it pertains to the language around small farmers and the agricultural community, and recognizing that this provision was not in it," end quote. She added, and I quote, "They wanted to make the best bill possible," end quote. Farmers are also eligible to get help getting a license from the new Cannabis Control Board. They have a social equity plan with the goal of issuing 50% of licenses to social equity applicants, including those harmed by the war on drugs, low-income folks, minority and women-owned businesses, disabled veterans, and I quote, distressed farmers, end quote. That is, a farmer who has suffered from low commodity prices, loss of land, and/or operating losses, and works a small farm as defined by the Department of Agriculture. Donna Burns, president of the board of the New York Small Farms, says that, and I quote, "opens the door for more people to become cannabis farmers in not only in the Hudson Valley, but throughout the state, because the definition has expanded to include members of groups that have been historically underrepresented in farm ownership." And she claims an earlier version of the law, and I quote, "would have been actually detrimental to our small farmers," end quote. The new law also includes a small-scale production microbusiness license with a lower cap on how much cannabis can be grown, but allows farmers to sell their products on-site like the farm brewery and the farm winery licenses. Jason Menard, in-house counsel for Hemp Fair State Growers, said, and I quote, "that's something you can set up. Say, as a farmer who is doing tomatoes, you have an extra greenhouse and you want to take a shot at cannabis," end quote. He added, and I quote, "it's going to create a more level playing field. The state is going to see a lot of microbusiness applications," end quote. There is much more about the state's new marijuana law to read about in the River Newsroom. Joseph Spector reports for the Poughkeepsie Journal that as the COVID-19 numbers improve around the state, Governor Andrew Cuomo sees fewer reporters. During the worst of the coronavirus pandemic, Cuomo won an Emmy for meeting with reporters in person every day and answering many questions in televised media briefings. Now, though, vaccines are easy to get and the number of hospitalizations keep falling, and Cuomo is seeing fewer reporters. The governor, however, is not camera shy as he continues to hold events for announcements made for TV in very large venues with numerous elected officials and local leaders in attendance. But no press is allowed because of COVID-19 restrictions, his administration officials claim. Instead, Cuomo occasionally answers the many questions about his marriage scandals in Zoom and phone conference calls where his aides choose friendly reporters to ask questions. Blair Horner, legislative director for the New York Public Interest Research Group, said, and I quote, "every public official, including the governor, should subject themselves to questions from the media because that's the public surrogate," end quote. She added, and I quote, "the media is there to ask the questions that the public wants to have asked and wants to know the answers to," end quote. But the governor has just one answer for reporters on this subject. Cuomo said April 20th, and I quote, "when will reporters be back in the room? That is purely a function of the COVID safety requirements," end quote. There is more to read about this story in the Poughkeepsie Journal. Aaliyah Schneider is reporting for Columbia Green Media more than 30 short-term rentals in Hudson have been found to be unregistered and not paying lodge tax, according to the city treasurer's office. The unregistered properties were identified by the Short-Term Rental Tax Administrative Service Company, Azavar Audit Solutions Incorporated. according to Treasurer Heather Campbell and Assistant Treasurer Matthew Parker. Campbell declined to reveal the specific properties on the list, saying she is unsure if that list can be made public at this time. The Hudson Common Council last year approved a local law regulating short-term rentals and restricting the owners eligible to host them. Campbell said the Azabar software is aware of the new short-term rental law and that it is safe to assume it was taken into consideration when tallying the 31 unregistered properties. Campbell declined to say how much revenue the newly found short-term rentals could bring to the city in lodging tax or if retroactive fees will be charged. She said in a statement April 22nd, and I quote, "I cannot provide financial guidance as to the impact at this time and probably will not be able to do so for some time," end quote. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Marshall Cohen is reporting for CNN Politics. A New York man has been charged by the Justice Department after he was turned in by someone he matched with on the dating app Bumble because he bragged about his exploits on January 6. According to court documents, 1 week after the attack, Robert Chapman of Carmel, Putnam County, told one of his Bumblebee matches that, and I quote, "I did storm the Capitol," end quote, and said that he, and I quote, "made it all the way into Statuary Hall," end quote. He also claimed that he was interviewed by members of the media. The other Bumble user replied, and I quote, "We are not a match," end quote. Investigators said they corroborated Chapman's claims by comparing his Bumble profile picture to body camera footage from police officers inside the Capitol that day. Chapman was arrested April 22nd and charged with four misdemeanors, including disorderly conduct on Capitol grounds. He has not yet entered a plea. More than 390 people have been charged so far with federal crimes in connection with the attack. And you can read the full story at can.com. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. For local weather reports, town meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.